for Midday Matters Art-Centric, Midday Matters Friday Art-Centric here on WBOY. If you'd like to join today's conversation, give us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook page or send us a note at middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and I'm joined by my lovely partner in crime, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah, and beautiful you are as well.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's not only the last Art-Centric Friday of the month, it's all about autumn and bountiful harvest this month, especially this week, especially right now and here in the studio. The seasonal Art-Centric celebration is in full color as we are here with DID's Tenna Winker to share downtown's last Saturday seasonal excitement. And with her is Wheels of the World project coordinator Holly Chaley, wheelbearer, I should say, of big auction event news. Then grab a seat in the green room because it's drama, drama, drama in our second segment with First Press Theater's Tom Hoffrichter filling us in on the coming month's theatrical offerings. And in the understudy chair this month is IPFW's Craig Humphrey. Mm-hmm. But first, as we love to do, Sarah and I each have a quick pick art tip for you, a radiant gem among the treasure trove of art centricity happening this weekend you just may want to sample. So what's your pick, Sarah?
Mine is an event that's going on the whole weekend. It's the Fort Wayne Railroad Historical Society's open house, so that's September 29th and the 30th. The event is going to be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on both days, and it's free admission. There's going to be caboose rides and personal tours, and offering the public the rare opportunity to explore the locomotive up close. And the locomotive, I believe, that's in question is the number 765, and that's going to be right downtown, so you can go. And we have on our Facebook page information about the location and the event and the times. Again, that's 10 to 4 on our Facebook page, Midday Matters, so you can go there and find out more information.
That really is a grand engine, and I'm so happy that the public really gets, they'll get a caboose tour. Yeah. They can go from front to back and have a wonderful time supporting a great cause. I've got to suggest the Fraternal Order of Eagles Number 248, second annual barbecue cook-off to benefit the Allen County SPCA. And it's happening all day tomorrow, Saturday, the 29th. It goes from noon to 10 p.m. It's at the Eagles and 4940 Bluffton Road. And they've got live music going on all day. There's food of every wonderful variety. It's all the proceeds go to benefit the shelter, and it's so wonderfully successful even in its young state. I'm going to be making sure to get a good bite. You know me. First thing, I'll be judging the very first round of the competition, which is free-for-all, so that's quite interesting. And that's bright and early Saturday morning, actually just before the noontime opening. And then hopefully I'll be stopping by later in the evening for another helping, hear the music. There's Will Certain, John Durnell, Honey Badger, Sonny Taylor, Joel Young Band. Too cool. There's no admission fee. Cool. They promise us plenty of really wonderful, fun ways to spread one's money around in contribution for a worthy cause. Mm-hmm. I think it is too. So people could even hit that Saturday night and then maybe go visit our wonderful historic engine the next day.
Absolutely.
Who could ask for more?
Well, I hope you're going to maybe start fasting tonight, Julia, so you'll
have... Oh, I did like a couple days ago, pretty much, just so I can enjoy the experience. Mm-hmm. And now, Last Friday Buzz continues with the Downtown Improvement District's lovely marketing and events director, Tenna Winker, and today it's seasonal Last Saturday celebration we're talking with Tenna and her guest, Holly Chaley. Feeling seasonally sensitized, Tenna?
Well, I think it's going to be great weather for tomorrow.
Indeed,
beautiful
yes.
fall day with it being, 70 they're forecasting?
It's almost too good to be true.
Yeah.
But we'll take it.
A perfectly beautiful fall day with lots to do.
And I will say, when we were in Sunday in the Park with Jazz in Headwaters Park, and if you weren't there, boy, did you miss a good party. The trees are just turning all around the park and all around downtown. So that's an extra glorious backdrop for the day's events. So what are some of the things happening?
Well, I have to say, I've got to get to International Blast. It's an event that the DID is holding. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we are doing new this year as a downtown organization project. It's been a block party for J.K. O'Donnell's for several years. Mm-hmm. And last year they didn't do it. So this year we partnered together and they sponsored us instead of us sponsoring them. And we're coordinating it. So we've invited more organizations to participate. It used to be more of a celebration of those four different international organizations on one block, mm-hmm. with Tuscany's,
which is quite showy,
uh-huh. Chinese Dragon, and Macedonian. And now we've added some projects with the Burmese, and with we have some Congolese jewelers, and we have the Mon dancers, and we're going to have martial arts demonstrations. Almenceros de Mexico doing Mexican folk dance. So it's going to be a little bit broader, a little bit more diverse than it has been in the past, but we think it's going to be a wonderful short little blast of an event, only 3 hours long.
Quite a blast, yeah. And that's a lot. That's quite ambitious, 3 hours. And if one could self-propel oneself and be everywhere at once, that would be great. Otherwise, how do they get around, see all these things? How do they know where to find these things?
Yeah, we have information on our website for last Saturdays. That's downtownfortwayne.com. And International Blast is also on there as a separate page and as part of last Saturdays. So that 3 to 6 event, it will have informational displays. We'll have artists. We have food vendors with various ethnic foods, and we have the WOW wheelbarrows we'll be talking about in a little bit too. We also have a whole lot of other stuff going on. Should I toss some of it out there?
You certainly had better. We don't. Anticipation might just kill me otherwise.
Well, the morning starts with Fort for Fitness, and I know, okay. That's a huge family event, and mm-hmm. it's a health fair, and there's all kinds of parts of that event besides the running that are going mm-hmm. on. So that's at Parkview Field, and it starts at 7 a.m. and goes till about 1. So that's a good way to start the day. There are Stoner's Fun Store. Of course, Dick Stoner is going to do free magic tricks.
I would be disappointed if not. That's fantastic.
In his store for people who want to pop in there and, of course, get a little jump on Halloween costumes while they're at it.
Oh, indeed. And get a jump on the big crowd scene that's perhaps happening there. Yes.
Yep. At the conservatory, the Botanical Conservatory, History Center, Science Central, they all have their discounted admission, as always, on the last Saturday. So there are some great things to see there, including a new exhibit at the History Center mm-hmm. on innovation. Definitely don't want to miss that. We have the Museum of Art open with their exhibits. ArtLink has got some photography on display. The Youth Theater is going to pop up and do a performance at International Blast.
Oh, how special.
They're also going to pop up at Science Central tomorrow for an earlier show. So there's going to be different plays going on for the youth in that way. It ought to be really incredible.
This is just blossoming into an absolutely stunning celebration month to month. And I think that I can't, maybe I say this every month, but it sounds like you've outdone yourself this month.
Well, this is a crazy period of time right now in downtown. There's just something every day, I think. There's a great conference in town this weekend for neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. Neighborhood leaders are here mm-hmm. from all over the state. I just think they're going to be so wild tomorrow, walking around from their conference break, seeing all these great things we have going on.
They might never get back to the second part of their conference, but that would be well worth the risk they're taking, I think.
Absolutely.
Also like to remind friends that are listening, if you would like to comment, and you can go to our Facebook page mm-hmm. and get the nitty-gritty detailing on everything that we're talking about today. But in the meantime, if you have a question or a comment about anything downtown, and especially this last Saturday celebration that we're doing, you can simply give us a call.
Mm-hmm. 260-452-1185. And like Julia said, you can always go to our Facebook page or send us an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm.
We'd really, really like to hear from you. I know that Tenna and Hollywood too. And I've got to ask, especially because it is such an exciting event happening tomorrow, all evolving around the Wheels of the World project. And Holly, we have to commend you and every one of the people connected to this beautiful event for being so far such a great public art event. How's it going?
It's fabulous. Thank you for having me and for your work on the project. The World on Wheels or WOW Garden Project has so far surpassed what we thought would occur. We thought we would do a little public art awareness for the different cultures living in this community. Mm-hmm. As the director of Catherine Casper Place, we serve refugees, immigrants, and political asylees in the community. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, those groups are marginalized or left out of things, particularly things around the arts, because they just have other issues going on that are more pressing.
Sure.
But this project has really brought the community together. You know, we started out with a simple idea of let's get some wheelbarrows, drill holes in them, make them be portable gardens, and we'll decorate them, you know, to represent different ethnicities. And Tenna and I have worked on this for a really long time. Just to see, you know, first of all of the artists, 23 different artists gave of their time, you being one of them, your lovely Brazil wheelbarrow.
Let me tell you, the pleasure was all mine, and do continue. 23 different countries were represented in these 23 barrows.
There are 22 wheelbarrows. One of the wheelbarrows had two artists, mm-hmm. and those two artists were representing three different places.
Wow.
So it gets kind of mathy, and you can just leave that behind. But yeah, we have 22 wheelbarrows. Just amazing. Almost too much for words. We do have a Facebook page, Wow Project Fort Wayne. So if you're listening along and you want to see these fabulous works of art, please do. And like our page, too. We're trying to get a bunch of feedback there. But we definitely have Burma represented, Democratic Republic of Congo, Brazil, Native American, Nepal, India, and Pakistan. That's the one that's three combined. Macedonia, Ireland, which I have to mention just because of the fully functioning beer tap in the middle of
that is creativity, yes. And efficiency, yes. And it's cleverest, yeah. Yes.
Andrew Lane was the designer for that, and the sponsor is Deer Park Pub.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a beer tap, put it in there, attached a soaker hose to it, so when you purchase this wheelbarrow at the auction tomorrow, you have a fully functioning portable container garden with a soaker hose in it. You can astound all your friends with that.
And as well as impress, bound to impress. The glorious thing is, since one of the many things, wonderful things that the Catherine Casper Place really promotes and works with is community gardening. And mm-hmm. so to have the wheelbarrow as the symbol and a public art symbol at that is just brilliant. But of course, you didn't stop there. And as part of the public art display through this whole wonderful, good part of the summer and now into the fall, they've been planted with the native plants from each country, too.
Right. Culturally appropriate food gardens primarily, but in many cases there are additions, including herbs, and we had some fruit, we had flowers. Yes, we wanted to represent the different foods of the cultures because, you know, we have great farmers markets. We've got mm-hmm. burgeoning public markets coming along. And so we wanted to be able to have people familiar with what might be at those markets ahead of time. So Tenna planted the Native American wheelbarrow, Parker Shelton, who you had on last Friday, his wheelbarrow. And that wheelbarrow now has maize and gourds. What else is in there, Tenna?
Tomato, which is native to our country mm-hmm. in the South. And there's also some things like echinacea, mm-hmm. which were often used in medicinal ways.
As well mm-hmm. as being an ornamental in many of our own gardens here, and then nicely then combined to do the whole flavor
of
the Native American. As is, that's one of the most spectacular pieces in its whimsy, mm-hmm. I'm going to say, as well as meaning and that was voted second, which, just to touch on, you did have a wonderful voting during the Taste of the Arts Festival. So that was after the pre-launch, that was one of the first big celebrations that you shared with the city.
Mm-hmm. Right. We really wanted to. Catherine Casper Place is a fairly new. It's a ministry of the Poor Handmaids of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's fairly new. Started in 2010. So we're in our infancy, we wanted to get some street cred, if you will. And so we built in these things along the way to invite more and more of the community to see what was happening. So Taste of the Arts, be a tourist in your own hometown, 3 weeks at Parkview Field, just ended yesterday, and tomorrow International Blast. These wheelbarrows, they've been to two temples. The Israeli wheelbarrows have been to both temples in town. We've had some at the embassy, some at Grand Wayne. So they've been around. But their first public debut was Taste of the Arts, and you know, they had about 25,000 folks there. We did a voter's choice, and the Ethiopian wheelbarrow, which Bill Lupkin and his fabulous design team mm-hmm. completely decked out that wheelbarrow in stained glass, art glass. It is astonishing. It's first place, mm-hmm. and then Parker Shelton's Native American one, which is very authentic, has very many pieces to it that are true to form. That was second place. And Bonnie Manning, who did the Filipino wheelbarrow with 3,000 beads and shells, took third place there. And it, I have to say, every single wheelbarrow got votes, and it got pretty congested there for top place. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
sure it would, like a like any good election where people want to make their stand. And what a glorious outturn, and what a glorious support, again, far beyond your expectations. And you had high expectations.
You know, I've heard that about myself. Yes, but for this I truly did, in that, you know, I was representing essentially two groups who needed this press, Catherine Casper Place, and then I took it upon myself to represent for my clients, because we do advocate for them. Mm-hmm. We have to advocate for them in so many ways, and it's really, really important to be able to access healthy foods for all of us. But if you are coming from another country and you don't have access to the foods that you've eaten, that your digestive system, mm-hmm, and the flora in your belly understands, that's tricky business. So here, right, we're all dealing with the, you know, supersizing of this and the, you know, deep frying of that. And you bring in people who, for the most part, are living in a food desert, maybe in the southeast part of the community. Mm-hmm. They don't drive. Not very many of them do. The closest thing they can walk to is going to be beef jerky and lottery tickets. So we're trying to help them establish gardens close to home or right at home. And so it's to advocating for their food rights, essentially, is what Indeed. This is all about.
Mm-hmm. And we've been teaching them, too. When I volunteered for this project last summer. It's one of the ways Holly and I got started on this whole wheel thing, was talking about ideas. And that watching people come to our country who speak very little English, but working with them is so easy when we're gardening, because you don't really have to speak as much as when you're digging and you're sharing like that. It's a real commonality that we all have, and many of them already know how to grow things. It's just learning our climate, mm-hmm, learning our soil, learning how we do things here. It's been a very fascinating process for them and us. We've developed some neat relationships, and I think this program has done really well at drawing more attention to both the needs of the Burmese that we're helping and a few people from Haiti and a few other places, as well as bringing public art back to downtown, which is becoming so exciting as new projects are being launched, like the bike sculpture project, mm-hmm, with IPFW. These wheelbarrows are a great prelude to that. I don't think we've mentioned yet that the wheelbarrows will be auctioned tomorrow.
That's what we are dying to hear about, yes.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a highlight of our event. So we're very excited that we were able to tie both our project with the festival and the project with wheelbarrows all together. So that'll be like the middle part of the event. The festival starts at 3:00. The auction is at 4:30, and then after the auction, we'll have practice at 5, playing some roaring good music in bilingual style.
Who could ask for more? Talk about high-energy, so fantastic fun music. Now, the nitty-gritty of the auction itself, exactly where will it be, when will it start, and it is a live auction.
It's a live auction, okay. So there will be that whole bidding process and, uh-huh, that excitement that goes, uh-huh, with that.
Celebrity auctioneer Tony Henry will be auctioning.
Well, then
on behalf of the project,
we like to give him a hard time as well as a hand clap when he's around. So yes, that's fantastic. And when does it start?
It starts at 4:30. However, all of the wheelbarrows are currently on not only the WOW Project Fort Wayne Facebook page, mm-hmm, but they are also on the Catherine Casper Place website at a buy it now price. So CatherineCasperPlace.org. It's Catherine with a C, Casper with a K, place.org. They're all listed there with a buy it now price. So if you feel the need to buy Parker Shelton's Native American one today and not have to duke it out with somebody tomorrow, you can go online and buy it right away. But the auction will be at 4:30. We have already sold two wheelbarrows, and I'm happy to announce one of those is Julia Meek's Brazilian wheelbarrow. It has already sold, as has the Macedonian wheelbarrow. But you still have 20 gorgeous, amazing, fully functional, mobile gardens for purchase. And if you think about it, the wheelbarrows are up high enough off the ground so that if you actually want to give a good Christmas gift to somebody who can't get down and garden in the dirt, but they love to garden, you've got accessible, portable garden. You just roll it right up, work on it, send it on its way. They make great gifts.
It's at One Summit Square, which is where the festival is in the afternoon. And I think, too, we should maybe mention some of the sponsors. Like, I know I haven't mentioned my festival sponsors, and I should at least touch on that. We have Fort Wayne Meadows, J.K. O'Donnell's, who will also be serving Irish food and some beverages tomorrow afternoon.
Did you think of everything?
Hanning and Bean and Metro, the Metropolitan Human Relations Commission in Fort Wayne, are sponsoring our event. Now, Holly's got a whole bunch of other sponsors, and they'll be recognized on signs and all of that tomorrow afternoon. So people need to come and recognize as many of them as possible.
Right. But I do just want to give a shout out. As I mentioned, Tony Henry's our auctioneer. The Deer Park is also one of our gold-level mm-hmm. sponsors, and we really appreciate that. The DID is a gold-level sponsor. Other sponsors include Lutheran Health Network, St. Joe Community Health Foundation, CityLink, Metro, CASA. We have loads and loads of support. So thank you all, and you will be recognized tomorrow.
CityLink is having free fare all day tomorrow. I almost forgot to tell you.
So people really can bounce around. They can't be everywhere at once, but they can sure bounce around town for free.
Anywhere in the city, you can get on a bus tomorrow for free from CityLink. It's a gift to the community. They are doing this once a month on the last Saturdays the rest of the year.
What a wonderful gift it is. And again, a good outreach and inclusion to everybody. Now, we've got just a minute maybe left, so let's give the highlights so everybody remembers what they need to do tomorrow.
Come downtown.
On the bus. Take the bus.
Make sure you're there at 4:30, especially if you're an art collector of any of our local fabulous artists. You can get a one-of-a-kind Terry Ratliff, Julie Tolles, Jeff Stump. We have 22 people, Nandis Carr, Lynn Hatfield, lots and lots, Andrew Lane.
You can look on our Facebook page. You can find the WOW Facebook pages. You can go to the Catherine with a C,
Casper with a K.
And really, just if you just see all the wheelbarrows, that's worth it. And then you might just have to bid on one. How late does the buy it now of the auction go?
The buy it now part of the auction will go right up to 4 p.m. tomorrow, so okay. You can buy it at that price. Come prepared to take your wheelbarrow home. And we are taking checks and credit cards, and it's a generous community. I want to mention one more thing. We've had these wheelbarrows out in the community for more than 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Not one single vandalism incident, no damage, nothing. So I want to give a big shout out to this community. Everybody who took pictures and stopped by, there were random people pruning the plants and fixing the signs. Thanks to everybody. It was truly, truly a community project.
Well, downtownfortwayne.com for all the last Saturday activities.
And again, like Julia said, we just posted the WOW Project Fort Wayne page onto our Facebook page. So if you want to see stuff that Julia and I have posted, as well as that, I was just flipping through. I was there and voted, and it was beautiful work.
Whose did you vote for?
I voted for yours, Julia. I voted for yours. But it was really cool. Like, for instance, the German wheelbarrow I thought was beautiful, and it was really cool to be like, some of them it was obvious what country it was, mm-hmm. and some of them it was like, what is this? And it made you curious. So right. I thought that was a really interesting part of the project.
That's
so thank
Valerie
you.
McBride, another great artist. You will not believe the list of artists.
Mm-hmm. But you can see them for yourself. And you can see the wheelbarrows tomorrow. You can enjoy all parts of the international celebration. Got one word for all of this? Wow.
We're going to have to, unfortunately, take a break. But if you have a question or a comment, remember, you can always give us a call, 260-452-1185. Post on our Facebook page or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. And support for Midday Matters on WBOY is provided by the Lutheran Hospital Transplant Center. Since 1985, Lutheran surgeons have performed more than 275 heart transplants in Fort Wayne. Information at lutheranhealth.net. Julia and I will be back in just a moment with more Midday Matters.
Are you working for the weekend? Plug into the Friday Vibe. I'm Bill Forsyth, playing jazz of all types from all eras, plus blues, a little pop, folk, and rock to roll you into the weekend. The Friday Vibe, 7 to 11 on your home for jazz in Northeast Indiana, WBOI.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. A county official says it could cost as much as $300,000 to repair a nearly 140-year-old covered bridge in northeastern Indiana after its roof trusses were broken by a semi-trailer that tried to pass and was too tall. DeKalb County Highway Superintendent Eric Patton says he expects to soon have a report from engineers who inspected the Spencerville covered bridge following Wednesday's damage. The one-lane bridge about 20 miles north of Fort Wayne has been closed to traffic. Patton says that he expects the trucker's insurance company will pay for the repairs and that the bridge will be returned to its original condition. The trucker told police he was following his GPS directions when he drove through the bridge. The driver faces a felony charge of criminal mischief. Leading indicators in the region's housing market remained strong in the month of August. August indicators from the Upstate Alliance of Realtors show increases in several key areas of the local market. The number of closed home sales increased more than 13% over last year, while pending sales and median closing prices increased as well. Those numbers have been relatively consistent this year, leading some sectors of the market to move in favor of sellers for the first time in years. Upstart MLS President Tug Pearson says continued low interest rates and an increase in prices have created optimal conditions for both buyers and sellers. He also says consistency in closed sales and median prices this year point to strengthening consumer confidence and steady progress in the recovery of the local housing market. Lawmakers on a legislative study committee examining outdoor stage equipment regulation say they support extending current temporary rules for another few years. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith has more.
Under direction from legislation passed last session, the State Fire Prevention and Building Safety Commission developed temporary regulations for outdoor stage equipment. Those regulations will expire next year. State Fire Marshal Jim Greason, who helped develop the rules and enforces them, says he wants the legislature to extend the regulations for another 2 years, giving the commission more time to refine them. Greason also wants legislators to approve additional rules requiring events develop emergency action plans. Indianapolis Democratic Representative Ed Delaney says that's a gap in the current regulations that needs to be fixed.
We want to have emergency action plans and response plans, stage or no stage. We've got a large crowd. They have to be able to get out of there. Somebody has to tell them when they need to get out of there and where to go.
Extending the temporary regulations would allow the commission to develop emergency rules at its discretion. Portland Republican Representative Bill Davis says he's a little concerned about giving bodies outside the legislature that kind of rulemaking authority.
With a part-time legislature like we have in Indiana, sometimes they need that flexibility to be able to react to situations. And so I want to see where we go with that.
A legislative study committee will make its recommendation next month on whether to extend the temporary regulations. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And state climatologists are saying Indiana's long-term forecast calls for the weather to remain cool through early October, but then turn warmer later in the month and could continue that way through November. Climatologists at Purdue University say the wet trend Indiana has experienced so far this month is forecast to continue through the next few weeks, but drier than normal conditions could prevail for October as a whole. The precipitation outlook for November is less certain. State climatologist Dev Niyugi says it's too early to predict the winter weather. Climatologists are waiting to see how an El Nino develops and how an Arctic condition might influence weather patterns. He says 1 month this winter could be warmer than normal and the following colder. Now let's get back to Midday Matters with your hosts, Sarah D'Elia and Julia Mee.
It's 12:35, and you're listening to WBOY 89.1 FM, and this is Friday Art-Centric Midday Matters. I'm Sarah D'Elia. If you'd like to join the conversation, 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook page or send us an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm. And my co-host, Julia Meek, I think we're going to be changing gears a little bit.
Just a little bit, because it is an autumnal dose of drama, drama, drama we're looking forward to now, and for that, who else would we have with us but First Press Theater's director, artistic and otherwise, Tom Hoffrichter. Hi, Tom.
Hello. Good to be here.
What's the dramaturgical dynamics of this part of the fall season?
We have lots of comedy opening. A lot of folks, a lot of the theaters kick off with comedy. And tonight, actually, there are two great comedies kicking off. We have Craig Humphrey here with us, who's a professor at IPFW, who's directing Molière's The Miser. Molière, one of the funniest writers ever. Busybody is at Arena Dinner Theater, which is a contemporary mystery slash comedy. So you get funny dead bodies, I guess. No, seriously, it's one of those kind of mystery whodunit things, but it's also a comedy at the same time. It'll be great for Arena Dinner Theater. And then next weekend, Adventures of Huck Finn opens at the Fort Wayne Youth Theater for the weekend. Harvey Cox has done an adaptation of that. And then 2 weeks from tonight at my home space, First Presbyterian Theater, Servant of Two Masters, also a classic piece from Goldoni from the 1700s that has a new spin. So in some ways, Craig and I are going to talk today a little bit about how do you take a comedy that's written, in his case, 400 years ago, 350 years ago, in my case, a little under 300 years ago, and how do you make it really uproarious and ridiculously funny for contemporary
and
audiences?
Current, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would like to remind all of our listeners now and for the rest of this segment, you can call in your questions and comments for Tom or Craig or theater in general.
260-452-1185, or you can always post on our Facebook page or send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm.
We'd love to hear from you, and we would love to hear the continued conversation on fall theatrical fair.
Why is it funny? Craig Humphrey, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. It's funny because I think it's timeless, certainly with The Miser and with Servant of Two Masters both. I think it's all about those particular playwrights were writing about issues that were pertinent then, and they still are. I mean, The Miser is about a miser. It's about a man whose entire being is focused on the accumulation, thank you, Tom, of wealth. Uh-huh. And riotous events happen around him because of that.
Yeah, and what Molière always seems to do is he seems to be able to find those human foibles, those things. I mean, in Tartuffe, he's looking at religious hypocrisy.
Exactly.
In The Imaginary Invalid, he's looking at the person who's always sick. But in The Miser, he takes aim at greed. And does greed have anything to do with our current culture?
Oh, I think you might say that.
What is the basic plot line of the show?
The basic plot line, Harpagon, the miser, is a man in his 60s who has two adult children that have both found their perfect love. The son has found a young lady named Marianne, and the daughter has found a young man named Valère. But, of course, at the same time, the father has already arranged marriages for them. And it turns out that the father, Harpagon, is courting the young lady that the son is in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, there's the big battle of the show.
Yeah, you always get the old guy in his 50s that thinks he's going to marry the beautiful 20-year-old.
Yes, exactly.
You know, which I've given up on. Luckily,
I think unless you're Clint Eastwood, that's a pretty good decision on your part.
Yeah, yeah. But the comedy springs from him trying to manipulate all these people's lives,
and the extent to which he'll go to get his money and keep his money.
Now Molière was a French writer. Absolutely. Wrote right around 1640 to 1670 is when most of his plays were written. And he was a little bit controversial for the day. I mean, there were a couple of his plays that were actually banned. Was The Miser at all controversial?
Not as much as some of the others were, but Molière was actually writing at the court of Louis XIV, and he took a lot of liberties. often criticizing the king, and those were the pieces that were mm-hmm. usually banned.
Yeah.
But he was poking fun at the people he saw surrounding him at Louis's court, mm-hmm. and they certainly are the same people we have today.
So. Yeah, and a lot of times it was the people who were kind of hangers-on the court that he made fun of them. The king thought it was hysterical, yes. but it was, you know, and the people he was making fun of didn't really have the power to squash Molière's career because he was making the king laugh.
Exactly.
And usually the king was always praised in his place,
yes.
too.
Yes.
But so Molière's a French writer, which means I'm assuming you're not doing it in the native French.
No, we're not. We're doing a new translation, relatively new, within the last 10 years, that was written by a woman named Virginia Scott, who happens to be one of my former professors when I was in graduate school at the University of Massachusetts. And this translation is very up-to-date. She's using a lot of contemporary language. It's still set in Paris. It's still the original. Her translation is set in Paris of the 1600s. I, however, have updated it. I'm setting it in the 1920s Paris. And I did that for in the hope that it would be much more accessible to a contemporary audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that the 20s was still a time when we could have arranged marriages, when there are references to horse and carriage. And I thought that was still applicable to some extent in the 20s. Things like that, if we get more modern, become problematic in the mm-hmm. writing. But this has worked really well in transposing it to the 20s.
Have you been in touch with your old friend, your old professor?
I have not, as a matter of fact.
Because I just wondered, one of the things we're working on, the Goldoni piece from the 1700s, is actually our playwright is Jack Canty, who's a local boy who basically is an IPFW student now and is finishing up an English degree. And I think his plan is to become go get his MFA in playwriting. But it's been nice to be able to shape the text as I see a new joke. So have you slipped any kind of new jokes in on it? Would you feel comfortable doing that with a text that already exists that kind of is out there?
I've tried in every effort to be as close to Virginia's words as I could.
Mm-hmm.
There are certainly some contemporary moments in the play.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And references, because we're constantly looking at how can we find a joke about what's going on in our political campaign,
exactly.
about what's going on in in the cultural fabric of society as well. So you said it in the 1920s. That means that the sets and costumes will probably reflect that.
Very much so.
Were the conversations with the designers part of what helped move you to the 20s, or did the 20s come from a directorial vision and then you communicated that with the designers? How do you work as a, because those folks that don't know, Craig is a wonderful costume designer. Your MFA is in costume design, correct?
Yes.
And he worked in New York for many years as a professional costumer. So I'm just wondering, how does design factor in to you as a director?
Well, since on this show I'm both director and costume designer, it pretty much came from me.
So you had a conversation with yourself.
Yes. No, I was looking. We as a faculty decided that we wanted to do Molière. Molière hadn't been done in Fort Wayne for a long time, and certainly not at IPFW for a long time. And we try to do a canonical show every mm-hmm. season. And it was time to look at Molière, which I was interested in. And I looked at a few Molière plays, and I've always had a fondness for The Miser. And yet we weren't interested in doing an old, tired version of it in the style in which it was written. I was interested in doing something different with it. And Miser lent itself that way. And when mm-hmm. I read this translation that Virginia Scott has done, it worked very nicely. It seemed to me that I could modernize it. And so in looking, I kind of settled on the 20s, both from a visual perspective and from how it would serve the play. And then my scenic and lighting designers fell right in with me on that. And we have what I think is a very attractive show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it serves the play very well.
So. Mm-hmm.
I'll note that we did post the very nice and insightful article from the News Sentinel about the costuming and about the miser on our website or on our Facebook page, which folks can look at on Midday Matters, even as we speak. But I would ask you both, okay, it would have to be a challenge to do the period costuming, and you're looking at that, Tom, as well as you are, Craig. Is it double the complication or double the challenge when you do set yours, you're taking it from an older time and moving it up to the 1920s? Is it a double translation that you have to do?
In this case, it's easier. Because the 1600s in costume history is probably the most lavish era ever.
Yeah.
And incredibly time-consuming and expensive and all of the things that are concerns of ours. So moving it to the 20s was actually a simplification as far as that was concerned. And we also weren't really interested in the acting style of the restoration period. We were looking for something that would be more accessible for our audiences. Mm-hmm.
Pretty much the same answer for me in a lot of ways. Craig, at the university, you're blessed because you're surrounded with other people who have studied and worked and other professionals, which is a wonderful thing. I don't have that at First Pres, so any concept I come up with, I have to find somebody to build it. I don't have students in costume shops and stuff like that. So my tendency is always to move it someplace where I can basically go out and buy the stuff at Goodwill. although I've got a costume designer, Amber Klinker, who's coming from IPFW.
Yes, one of my students.
And talented woman. And actually, she was in that picture in the paper this morning or last night, whenever that was. Mm-hmm. But for me, part of it, too, had for almost exactly the same reason. There's something about putting actors in 16th, 17th, even 18th century garb that distances an audience from a play, that allows them to look at the play and go, oh, that's not really me, that somehow those people are different. When in reality, people had basically the same, if you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, that was in place the same thing back then as it is now. People wanted basically the same things. They wanted to eat. They wanted to sleep. They wanted a mate. They wanted a house. They wanted, you know, those basic needs. And then as those were met, they wanted more self-actualization.
Right.
Sometimes I think when you put, when you do a period correct costumes and sets and things like that, it allows an audience to think, oh, look at how funny they were back then. That's not us. But I think in both of these shows, because mine basically is serving of two masters, is the closest thing I can talk relate it to is it's a Marx Brothers romp.
Right.
It's just people.
That's a good description.
People being ridiculous. And my golly, aren't we ridiculous most of our lives when you kind of look at it? And there's this one guy who's trying to serve two masters. He in some ways, he got a second job. And that kind of resonates, too. And all the political things that are going on as to whether or not healthcare should be part of our lives, as to whether or not unions should exist or not, all those things kind of have to do with how many hours you work in a day. So in some ways, the comedy, although frivolous and ridiculous, we've tried to slip silly little jokes in that hopefully will remind people that comedy is always talking to what our fundamental human attempts are to live, what it is that's most important. And comedy kind of takes that pin and just sticks it in our pomposity and tries to let the air out of it. So in a long way to answer your question, it actually makes it easier for me too. And like Craig, I had discussions with myself because I designed the show. Well, once Amber came on, I kind of talked to her where I was at, and I think she embraced that. But we're also moving it to the 30s. So
another interesting addition to an already interesting play. And that's another thing, because both of you've picked very, very clever plays, the two that you're presenting, and with a lot of twists and turns, right. And you think you know what's happening, and you don't, or it plays out sooner or later. That's one way that you can compete with the fast-paced 21st century of the, you know, video and extra pictures and special effects and everything. Is that taken into account when you pick your plays, especially a comedy, especially when you want to lure people in?
Well, comedy, I'll go first this time, let you talk, address that afterwards. For me, comedy, the thing we're working on right now, and Craig has a performance tonight, I've still got 2 weeks, but what we're working on right now is knowing the material enough and keeping the rhythms going enough so the audience never quite knows what the next line's going to be. Because nothing kills a joke more than an audience knowing the punchline before you hit it. And finding the right rhythms that take you there, take you there, take you there, boom, and then hit you. It's those kinds of rhythm and that comedy, I don't think, no matter what the visual style of an age, I don't think we'll ever go out of style, because in some ways it's not a long form. A joke, by its very nature, has to be kind of quickly cut, mm-hmm. because a setup, one of the great things I read was David Mamet was talking about in terms of writing plays and acting. He said, you have to treat it like a joke. You know, a guy walks into a bar with a chicken on his head. What does the guy look like? Is he tall? Is he short? Is he fat? It doesn't matter. He's a guy walking into a bar with a chicken on his head. You want to get to it as quickly as possible. And so all you want is the bare essentials to set it up. And that's kind of what we're working on now, is the rhythms to get the setup going. So in some ways, I think young audiences will respond to these shows because they do kind of have that MTV. But you don't have to keep your focus on for a long time. If you miss two or three jokes, you know, and tune out, you can retune in and still get the jokes that are going on then. I don't know. What do you think?
That's been very much this experience we've had, is looking for that connectivity, that mm-hmm. getting from point A to point B to point C in an efficient way so that the humor plays through.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we have had to deal with is Molière writes a lot of description. Often. And like Shakespeare, with many clauses that interrupt the progression of an idea. And one of the things we've been working on is how do you get through that material and still let the joke play?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a lot of the same things Tom was just speaking of.
Yeah. How do you get to the punchline in the most efficient way? And the other thing, too, that I've talked a lot about, and whenever I do comedy, I try to impress on people, 3 is not magically funny. People always say things are funny in 3s. The only way, the only reason something is funny in 3 is because you do it the first time and it's new. You do it the second time and people go, oh, okay, I see. Then the third time, you have to do it a different way. You need 3 to set the pattern, but the third one must interrupt the pattern and destroy the pattern. Otherwise, it's not funny.
Exactly.
So if you don't understand that structure, just saying something 3 times is not necessarily funny.
Right.
In fact, it's a little tedious.
So it's finesse that you... Well, it is finesse that you handle a very clever premise and play and exactly where you put it in time and space and costume and everything else, and then it's how you finesse and keep it fresh.
Yeah, well, and know the mechanics too,
right.
Because I don't know about you, but one of the things I love about comedy is you cannot lie to yourself. If you're doing a dramatic play, mm-hmm. you can say, oh, I think the audience was very moved. But if you're doing a comedy and they're not laughing, you can't say, oh, they were laughing on the inside. Probably not. So comedy is a wonderful, that great quote, I think it was Edmund Kean, but the guy that's on his deathbed, and he goes, living is easy, comedy, or dying is easy, comedy's hard. Yeah.
Yes.
So.
Well, you guys make it seem very, very, very easy, and I know that your plays are going to reflect just such a delight to us all, and I would like to kind of begin a recap with you guys, because I want you to let us know once again, Tom, everything that's happening.
Oh, there's September's busy. Pretty much every theater's got something moving on the boards. Tonight at Arena Dinner Theater, the murder mystery comedy Busybody. Craig Show at IPFW at the University, The Miser, Moliere, funny comedy. Harvey Cox has something special in store for us in The Adventures of Huck Finn at the Youth Theater next weekend. And then October 11th, we preview Servant of Two Masters, which runs all the way through October. And it's going to be a lot of laughs in living in Fort Wayne this year.
That's right.
That's funny. Also, Craig, just a little, well, maybe a recap wouldn't be the right thing, but how do you feel this whole season taking shape for IPFW?
We have an exciting season. We're starting with this classical comedy. Our next show is a brand new, well, not brand new, a few years old play, The Women of Lockerbie, which is taking the Greek tragic form and dealing with the story of the air crash that happened over Lockerbie, Scotland in the 80s. And then we have, in conjunction with Fort Wayne Youth Theater, we have the classical musical Oliver in the spring. And then, in the winter. And in the spring, we have a brand new adaptation of the Virginia Woolf novel Orlando, which was written by Sarah Rule. The translation adaptation is done by Sarah
that's
Rule.
That's exciting.
Never before done in Fort Wayne. And
that's
we're very,
very
excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, not a real well-known piece either.
Exactly.
I'm really looking forward to that.
But it's a delight, and yes, should be better known.
Yeah. But yeah, your season's very interesting this year. Right. I think there's some things that people don't get usually in Fort Wayne. And one of the things I keep trying to convince people to do in Fort Wayne is go, when you see something and you don't know what it is, go find out. Because one of the things Fort Wayne does tend to do is they tend to like the things they've seen before.
Right.
And boy, give some of this new work a chance, because there's some terrific stuff out there if you open yourself
Speaking
up to it.
Speaking of human nature and all and the foibles of it, yes, that wanting the same, which, and there's nothing wrong with that. But again, I appreciate what both of your theatrical endeavors do to coax the audience into getting something. It's like, we know this is palatable. We know we're doing it well. We know that you're going to love it. Trust us. And they think they do.
Mm-hmm. And try something new and different. Right. Yeah,
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
Well, unfortunately, it's time to wrap up this show of Art-Centric Midday Matters. Thanks so much to all of our listeners and to our guests today. Julie and I want to remind everyone that you can tune in to Access Fort Wayne. Did a taping of this show. They do a taping of the show every Friday tomorrow, 4 p.m. And so that's Comcast Channel 57 and Frontier Channel 27. Again, that's on every Saturday at 4 p.m. And you can see the faces behind the voices. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. And we're streaming online at our new website, nipr.fm. This is WBOY. Fort Wayne. And Julia and I invite you to go to our Facebook page. You can look and see all the details of our art picks for this week, as well as anything else that anyone else is posting, letting us know what's going on with their weekend. We love getting new likes and making new friends. So you just have to type in Midday Matters to Facebook, and there we are. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.